Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to LAID, Love and Intimacy for the Disabled. This is your host, Stephanie Wallace. And tonight we are going to talk about self-image and self-esteem. But before we get into that, I want to talk to you about the show. The show is going through, you know, lots of changes, which I'm trying to find, you know, the right way to promote the show, the right way to, you know, to increase the audience. It's slow going, and some days, I honestly get a little discouraged, you know, but I'm here, and I'm steady, and I'm going to do this. You know, I got up this morning, and it was like, oh, damn, it's Monday, you know, and I really felt unmotivated this morning when I woke up. It's like, you know, I didn't know what I was going to talk about. I didn't, you know, what am I going to do? You know, and, you know, I finally decided to talk about self-image. So I want to try and take this, being that the show is about love and intimacy, you know, I want to sort of take it in steps, you know, because it all starts with us. It starts with yourself, you know, and, you know, after you have gotten yourself together or to a certain point when you are satisfied with yourself or more comfortable with yourself, then you can move on and start to share yourself with someone else. But I really think that before you get to a point where you're comfortable with yourself, trying to share yourself with someone else might be a little bit difficult. You know, you might run into certain difficulties. Because, you know, I try, you know, sometimes so many thoughts are rushing through my head, and I try and get back to the first step, the first place, and, you know, dealing with self-image, which determines your self-esteem. So I said to myself, you know, what determines your self-image? How does one develop their own self-image? Where does it come from? How do you determine what you feel about yourself? And I think it comes from, because if you just take a, baby is not self-conscious, it doesn't, you know, the baby is a baby, whatever is whatever. You learn what is supposed to be normal, beautiful, acceptable, whatever. You know, you learn these things from your outside. You know, when I was younger, you know, I can remember having the feeling that being dark-skinned was not a good thing. And these things not only came from images that were projected around us, you know, with TV, what was beautiful. You know, Farrah Fawcett comes to mind, you know, Charlie's Angels, remember when she had that flip hairdo, you know, and everything. And it was at a point where she was really, really hot stuff. You know, the different images that you see in the magazines and on television and what is supposed to be beautiful and everything. And for a large portion, of my life, all of my life, these images were white, you know, very recently, Black and Latino women, well, just women of other ethnicities have started to be featured as being beautiful or whatever. But when you are a child, or I don't even think you have to be a child, but just when you are like put into or in a situation or in a society or in a, you know, whatever, a group or whatever, you can be considered beautiful wherever you are. But then if you put in a group of something different and all of a sudden that different, that majority is what's beautiful, you sort of might start having doubts about yourself. You know, it reminds me of a Twilight Zone episode that I saw once, and this woman was in the hospital, and what you see is all the nurses are looking at her, and, you know, she's being unbandaged, and it was like she was, you know, they reacted as if she was hideous, and then you look, but her face looks totally fine, you know, for us. But then you look at all the nurses and they have these pig faces. So it's like, so now, you know, but that's normal to them. The pig faces were normal. So this was like foreign and like hideous, you know. So it's all about perception and how you perceive yourself and how you perceive yourself in your surroundings. That's the word I was looking for earlier. Surroundings. Your surroundings determine, I think, what, and this is all just my opinion, your self-image. Because you look at yourself in comparison to what is around you. You know, if you were a Chinese person, an Asian person, dead in the middle of Africa, and you're the only Asian, you might be an Asian beauty, or you know, muscle man, or whatever that you know, you understand what I'm saying. Tops. In Asia, and you are put in the middle of an African country when you're the only Asian, you will feel out of place. You know, you might feel self-conscious. You might all of a sudden not feel beautiful anymore. You know, and you know, I look at the way that we try to modify ourselves, and you know, you have. Women of color trying to straighten their hair like white, Asian, Brazilian, you know, whatever, Malaysian, you know, we have that hair. You know, you have white women pumping up the lips and, you know, everybody's getting butt injections and all that. But we're trying to modify ourselves because we perceive others to have a beauty that we don't have. And so we go through so much trying to get it. And I think the key to the self-esteem part of this is the self-acceptance, to look at yourself and say, this is who I am. This is what I am. There's nothing wrong with, you know, doing yourself up, but to not accept yourself how you were created. You know, so, you know, as you see, this is not just a topic dealing with disability. This is, you know, a universal topic. Just to be able to look in a mirror and say, and be okay with what you see, you know, but so many, and it's such a disservice to us, you know, to humanity, to me, in my opinion, to be fed these images of what is acceptable, what is good, what is better, it's a mind game. It is a mind game. And who is the one determining is normal? Who determines what is better? Who determines what is pretty, beautiful, you know, who determines this? And, you know, we come from all parts of the earth. We come from all parts of the earth. So what's good over here is different than what's good over there, you know. And so to even compare, it doesn't make sense. It's like biting into an apple. And no, maybe that's not a good analogy. I was going to say biting into an apple and saying something about an orange. That don't even make any sense. But who created the measuring stick by which all things are measured and considered to be acceptable, normal, beautiful, lovely, whatever it is, pretty, you know, or whatever? And how do you get past? How do you get past that pressure that you put on yourself, that pressure that others put on us? How do we get past it? You know, and I think the key is self-acceptance. Everybody, you know, is not, we're not created the same. We're not. And we need to appreciate the differences in us. You know, we really need to appreciate the differences in us, because it's a sad thing if you let someone else's perception and determination of what is acceptable determine how you feel. It's sad because, you know, if you are going on, okay, this one thinks I'm pretty, he thinks I'm pretty, he thinks I'm, you know, sexy, he thinks I'm this, blah, blah, blah. What about when he doesn't? Does that make, you know, you, if you're up, if your self-esteem goes up just because somebody thinks you're, you know, their cup of tea, what happens when they don't, when they insult you, when they don't think that you're so pretty? Why does that determine how you feel about yourself? You know, I mean, I understand it and I don't. I understand what it is, but I just don't understand why it is. Or is that vice versa? I don't know. But it's like I see how it happens, but I don't know why we've let it happen. Because it's like we know better. We definitely know better. You know, my dad, you know, I grew up hearing black is beautiful, the black of the berry, the sweeter the juice, you know, and all that stuff. But then that was just my dad talking. You know, you're my dad. You got to think that about me. You know, and so, you know, it's just like, I don't know, but it does a serious, serious job on us. And it's not even really that important. It's really not important, you know, because it would, I mean, and I know this sounds so sappy. It sounds so sappy, but true beauty is not something that you can see. It is not. It's a feeling. It's an experience. You know, it's how you experience a person. It's not what you see. That's just aesthetic. That's just pretty. It can change. But who a person is, who you are, how you develop your character and your integrity, that's your beauty. That's what makes you exceptional. You know, not how you look, not what you have on, you know, not because, I mean, if we were stripped down and blindfolded and all, you know, had to, you know, you packed in a room or whatever, how do you determine who's beautiful? You blindfolded and nobody has on anything special. Nobody got on, you know. You can't determine, I, this person is, you know, you get impressed. You can't impress each other with what's on the outside. Now you got to go by what you truly are, who you truly are. See, that's true beauty to me. That's just me. But I know we're dealing in the regular world, you know, in the regular world. And in the regular world, we go by a lot of times what other people think of us. We really do. You know, we don't like to think we do, but we do. You know, I've heard, I don't care what people say about me. Oh, no, I dress for myself. I do this for myself, blah, blah, blah. But you change with the time. If that's the truth, if that's really true, if you do this for yourself, you wouldn't change what every said. You understand what I'm saying? You wouldn't go through, you wouldn't put yourself through the pain sometimes that we put ourselves through to, you know, become more quote unquote beautiful. You know, I don't know. Okay, so I kind of feel like I'm rambling, you know, but I'm going to let in caller 3721. Let me know if you want to talk.
Hey,
hi,
Stephanie,
caller.
How
are
you?
Okay, hey, Roberto, how you doing?
Good. Enjoying your
show. Good. What do you think of the topic?
I think it's great. That's why I called in. You know, I think it's, you know, it's very important. And, you know, about us, you know, our appearance and stuff, you know, our self-esteem, you know, we do it because we want to be competitive. You know, not only do we want to be competitive, you know, we don't want to be left behind. I feel like, you know, we're so, you know, I believe a lot of us, we whore after trying to keep up with the Joneses, and it shouldn't be that way.
Okay. Now, what do you think determines self-image? What do you think determines your self-image, how you see yourself?
Well, it should be about character. It really should be about your character. It shouldn't be about how you look, because we can't help how we look, We were made to look like this, and if we can't accept that, that's part of us accepting ourselves. If we can't accept that, we don't accept ourselves.
Yes. I know someone who, in my eyes, aesthetically, this person is beautiful, is pretty, whatever. Their self-image of themselves, to me. They can't even sit. When they are around a crowd of people and they hear somebody talking in the distance or whatever, or people whispering to each other, they swear that that the people are talking about them.
Well, we all have our insecurities.
That self-image thing, it's like, how does that, it's amazing to me how it penetrates, it truly penetrates and gets down deep into the core of who you think you are. Mm-hmm. And if you can let that penetrate and mold you, it's like, what do you have left? Obvious, because then you are what's the word I'm looking for? You make yourself it's like you're susceptible to whatever anybody thinks about you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I totally understand and I totally agree. In that instance, that's when you shouldn't care. Yes, we should care, but there's times that we shouldn't care, and this is when we shouldn't care. We cannot satisfy everybody. And, we cannot go, we cannot let people's opinions define how we feel about ourselves.
How do you
us. We have to be content with who and what we are, how we look, despite of what people may think or feel.
I wonder how we get past that. I mean, how do we get past that? And like I said before, this is not just a disability issue. This is a general, universal issue.
Yep.
And it affects us so, so much. I mean, it goes into, when I think about people having body image issues, like, people with anorexia and bulimia and things like that, I mean, to the point where you're skin and bones and you still see yourself as fat and, just... so many distorted images that we have of ourselves, and how does this penetrate? I mean, I'm amazed at it. I truly am amazed. And, because when you look at some people, sometimes you can look at somebody, and I mean, for the most part, people are people. Surprised or put off by the way people look or anything like that. It's like people are people, whatever. And I wonder if those people who are so fixated on how others look, are they also that fixated on themselves? Is that a projection of their own insecurity?
It's possible. I mean, because if someone's, so concerned about how a person looks, I think then, they themselves are self-conscious, because it's not, because beauty eventually, to the eye, beauty eventually changes, but inner beauty never changes, we're so focused on what's pleasing to the eye, we neglect to see the true beauty, which is the beauty that's inside of a person.
Yeah, you just said, we're so focused on what's pleasing to the eye. We will neglect the soul because of what's pleasing to the eye. We will even be abusive to the soul because of what's pleasing to the eye.
I think this problem didn't just start now. I think this has been going on for generations and generations.
Oh, of course, since the beginning of time. Since the beginning of time, and it's an amazing subject to me because it's so, the deeper you dig, the deeper it gets,
Yeah.
And it's not a light you know, we may take it lightly, but it really is not.
Because
our whole society seems to be built on, to me, goodness, I didn't even want to go here, but it's like a brainwash all around.
It's a brainwash all around.
I look at, they have this, it's a painter called Rockwell, and he painted these wonderful, you know, warm, beautiful family type images, you know, or whatever. And that's fine. That's fine. It is totally fine to me to capture or present what you think is beautiful. What bothers me is when a person or a people, we take things in because we have not yet defined things for ourselves.
Yeah.
I'm going to take your image.
Yep.
And I'm going to try to apply it to myself. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Disney, you know, we have Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, these fairy tales, you know. So we were fed this as children. You know, they're stories. They're made up stories. But this is what we want.
Yeah,
you know, we have not had time to develop our own truth, our own, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for, but we have not had time to define ourselves before we absorb these other images and then we try to apply them to ourselves and say this is what life should be. I think that's a cause of a lot of depression with people, you know, because you are trying to apply somebody else's images to your life.
We get snared in by the trap.
I'm sorry?
We get snared in by the trap.
I didn't understand what you said.
We get snared in by the trap.
Oh, snared in by the trap. Why are you using that snared in? You sound like an old man. But... I don't understand what you're saying. You're snared in by the trap, you know. But and all of these things, like now, like with magazines, right? Let's say, I don't know if you ever looked through a woman's magazine before, but it is just you are bombarded. You are truly bombarded, you know, with these images. I imagine with men's magazines, you're bombarded with, you know, muscle men and, you know, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you're bombarded. And, again, having not developed your sense of self to try to take these images and, you know, apply them to yourself. I saw the other day I was looking at clips of a show called Botched. Now, Botched is when people have gotten plastic surgery and it went wrong. You know, there was a guy on there. He had a sculpted body. And he said that he had six pack, his pecs and his arms, all that. He said he never works out. All of it was implants. It was all implants, and he was trying to get some more. You know, that's crazy.
I agree.
That is crazy to me that you are... If you saw his body, you would think that he worked out. But you can, that's just insanity to me. And the fact that doctors will keep working on him, that's even crazier. But it's about,
The money.
Yeah, right. There you go. You know, you got the dollar coming in, you know, and so the more... If they can keep pumping things at you and telling you, this is what you should be. You deserve to look like this. You deserve to look like that if you're in the gym. You understand?
Yeah.
That's what you deserve to look like
if
you're
in
the gym.
You know? Yeah, put in the work.
Yeah, if you put the work in, then you deserve it. You know, but it's all pumped at us and like it's going to make us happy. You know, it's going to make you happy if you look like this. Because then people will love you if you look like this, you know. But you forget, you're still a jerk. You know?
You still feel empty inside. You still feel empty inside at the end of the day.
Yeah, because it was never that outside. It was never the outside in what you looked like. It was what you felt like. It, all along, it's been the way you felt.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, that's, you know, I look at that, and it's scary and it's sad. You know, and it made me, you know, look at myself, because I had so many things that I was nitpicking myself apart, you know, about, you know, my eyes are two different colors, you know, just whatever, you know, whatever. Yeah. One time this guy told me, I was younger, a guy I grew up with. He said, you know, he just looked at my face and he said, you know, your nose looks like a dick. And
It's
hysterical now. It's hysterical now. I'm not sensitive. When I was little,
sorry, but wow.
No, it's funny. It is funny.
It is. Because I can see how somebody might think that.
You know, and it's like, you know, I'm like, what? You know, and okay, it's funny now. But when I was younger, I was so sensitive. You know, I ran into a friend of mine, well, I've been friends with since kindergarten, you know, and he used to call me a cockeyed kook, because when I was younger, my eyes were crossed, and he used to call me a cockeyed kook.
My eyes are crossed, too. I still have that problem.
And so when I ran into him years later after we were out of school and, you know, I had children or whatever, and I saw him and he said, oh, yeah, this is so-and-so. You know, he used to call me a cockeyed kook, and he was so embarrassed. You know, but by that time in my life, it was funny, you know. And but it's just, I forgot why I even got on this point. I'm sorry. But that, what were we talking about? The things people say to you or something, or how people receive you?
Yeah, how, growing up, you know, like, we're, you know, how our, you know, self-esteem and our image is shaped. You know, like, we take in, you know, this crap that, you know, that is fed to us by, you know, these magazines and the TV, and, you know, we take it in before we even know, you know, before we even know ourselves. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, okay, I think what I was trying to move on to was developing, you know, accepting yourself and developing, you know, a more positive self-image. You know, I had to, one day, one of the things that made me look at my eye and say, hey, that's kind of cool, I was taking selfies in a coffee shop, and the sun was coming in just right, and it hit my eye. And my eye looked wonderful in this picture. And I was like, oh, I like that. You know, I was like, okay, the eye is okay. And I can also use it to scare my grandchildren. Because when they do something wrong, I give them the eye. I stare, and then I make the eye, the gray eye, I make it bigger. And my little granddaughter, she's like, no. I don't have to yell. I don't have to scream. I don't have to hit anybody. All I have to do is give them the eye. You know,
cool.
So
cool.
The eye works.
Yeah.
You know, with the nose, it I wouldn't say it looks like a dick, but it does kind of remind me of Snuffleupagus. And it's okay. It's my nose.
Right. As long as you love it, who gives a shit about what others say?
Exactly. You know, so I've learned to accept that, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
learned to accept that I'm getting old and, you know, gravity, you know, and age, all this stuff I'm learning to accept. It's a shame that it's taking me this long, you know, in my life to start accepting it.
But see, that's the whole point. Who are you trying to keep up with? You shouldn't be trying to keep up with anybody. And that's where you know, that's how we're snared, you know?
Yeah, but tell that to a 17-year-old. You know, you know what I'm saying?
You're
17,
you're
trying to keep up with everybody.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to keep up with everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and when you have, I mean, even younger than 17-year-old, when you have those peers around you, their opinion of you, is more than your parents.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, That is true.
Yeah.
And, you know, for example, let me tell you something about myself. You know, I mean, right now I'm still, you know, I'm still currently living with my mom, but, you know, I'm working on, you know, getting to better myself, you know. I mean, sure, sometimes I feel like, damn, you know, my ass is 33 years old, still living at home with mother, you know what I mean? But, like, you know, it's not about that. It shouldn't be about that. You know, it should be about when you feel is ready to, you know, when you feel
mm-hmm.
you're ready to, you know, move on with yourself. You shouldn't worry about, oh, trying to keep up with this one or that one, because in the end,
right.
in the end, you're not going to be happy.
Mm-hmm. No, you're not. I mean, if your moves are based on, I can see other people's moves motivating you. You know, sometimes
yeah.
you see, you know, that might be a good idea. You know,
yeah.
let me see if I can, you know, do that for myself or whatever.
Yeah.
But as far as
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Go ahead.
If you're doing it just to keep up with them, you're doing it for the wrong reason. And I think motive is really important.
Yeah. And you also have to make sure your foundation
yeah.
is set. You know, sometimes I notice, you know, remember we were talking about, you know, what you deserve, you know,
yeah.
a lot of people don't have the foundation. You know, like the doctor was trying to explain to the guy, when you get older, this is going to be a problem.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't, it's like somebody built a shell around an unhealthy body, a healthy looking shell around an unhealthy body, you know, for
yeah.
this guy. And when you do things, you know, bringing that back to what you were saying, you know, if you're doing things just because somebody else is doing them, you might,
yeah.
you know, like, how can I explain it? Like, everybody wants the prize, but nobody
yeah.
wants to put in the work.
Yes.
You know, people want to live big. They want to live large. They want, you
yeah,
know, all this.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to work hard
yeah,
for it.
Yep. And you know what? And there's nothing wrong with that. As long as they, you know, as long as they're willing to put in the work and they don't let that consume them, then hey, it's fine. But if someone wants to live the high life, that's fine. As long as they don't let the fact that they're trying to live the high life and will be willing to do anything just to get there, then that's when it becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's absolutely true. I was talking to a young man who, and this is totally off topic, but that's okay. I was talking to a young man and, you know, he had listened to, I don't know, you ever heard of Dame Dash?
No.
You ever heard? It's a rapper named Dame Dash. He used to be in business with Jay-Z. But Dame Dash was talking about, you know, being a boss and, you know, being able to pass things down to your, you know, your wealth down to your children, you know, and things like that, which is all good. That's all good, you know. But also, you know, in talking to this young man, all he's worried about is being a boss.
Right.
But you got to start somewhere.
You do. You do.
You know, you have to start somewhere. You know, you might have to be an employee first, you know,
yeah.
and be an employee and build something up to where you can be a boss.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, but just to, you don't jump out of the womb and then you're a boss. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or wake up with an idea one day and I'm a boss. You know,
yeah.
it doesn't go like that. You know, so you got to put the work in. You know, and to and things from the other side,
yeah.
to be an employee and then to be a boss, so that you can understand
yeah.
what it is to be an employee. You can understand who you would boss over,
yeah,
you know, or
yeah.
whatever. But it's putting that work in, you know.
Yeah.
But okay, I digress. We
you
went
know,
off topic.
And let's get us back on topic here. And another thing too, you know, not everybody matures as, you know, everybody matures at their own pace, you know, is, you know, and that's another thing, you know, that's another thing that I believe that, you know, get somebody down, you know, they might feel, oh, you know, this person is more mature than me and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while that may be the case, you know, I mean, hey, you know,
mm-hmm.
we all have to move at a pace that we're comfortable with.
But you know what, too, look, if you look at other societies,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times, the family does not break off like that. You know, it's not like, okay, you're 18 or you're 21, time to leave.
Right, right.
We do that here.
Yeah.
a lot of times families stay together until, you know, somebody gets married and then they move off, you know, or something like that. You know, the grandparents are still in the home. You know, they're not shipped off to a nursing home. You know, other societies, the families stay together. You know, and then when you think about the way in other states and cities, you know, things might be a lot different. But here in New York City, you need to live with somebody else, a couple other people. Because it is unbelievable the way the rents are absolutely unbelievable. Even in the worst neighborhoods, rents are sky high. My daughter was paying well over $1,000 to live in a one bedroom, and it was so small.
That's ridiculous. Wow.
And this was a few years ago. This was a few years ago, so I can imagine what it is now. But this, it was, you know, it is so crazy when you think about, and but see, this is, that there I go, I'm just getting bigger than I wanted to get. But this is a part of all of the things that are basically shoved down our damn throats, and we just accept it.
Yeah, we take it.
You know, we unreasonable things are shoved down our throat on a daily basis, whether it's the high cost of living, which does not make, why does it cost so much to live in New York?
And you know what it is?
Why does it
just you know, my thing is, like, you know, the balance is, you know, the budget is not balanced, you know, like, you know, the CEOs, you know, CEOs of big companies, you know, they you know, they get a whopping bonus, you know, bonus checks and stuff. And, you know, it's all about greed. You know, I really think it comes down to greed and, you know, not balance, you know, not balancing the budget correctly and stuff like that.
And the greed trickles down. It trickles down to, you know, your regular guy who ends up, you know, shouldering the cost. But, you know, just and getting back, using this same concept, you know, getting back on topic, is these things that are shut down our throat. You know what I'm saying? I take fashion, you know. Somebody determines this is not in anymore. These $200 jeans that you just paid for, they're not in anymore. That's yesterday's news. You know, these are in now. You know, I remember going to the store and when ripped jeans first came out, when people started wearing ripped and old looking jeans, and going to the store, I think I was going to school shopping for my children. And I think at the time, the jeans, I mean, now cheap price, what would be cheap? Probably, they're probably like $49, you know. I think that's considered cheap now. But I can remember going and looking at the jeans. I'm not paying that. I'm not paying nothing for these jeans. They look like they came out of somebody's basement. They look like a pair of old jeans that somebody threw away. But this is what they shove down your throat. And they say that this is high fashion. They put up a high price tag on it. This is garbage, essentially. And you say, now I have it. Now, you know, it boosts your ego to have it.
It does. It does. You know, but only for the moment. That's the thing. Only for the moment, though. And that's the thing. You know, we want that. We want that moment fix. That's what a lot of us are, you know, that's what we get trapped into, you know, getting that moment fix.
Yeah. Indeed. I remember my father used to say, you're going to pay that much money to wear somebody else's name on your ass. And, you know, that really affected me throughout my life. You know, because it doesn't make sense to pay that much money to wear somebody's name on your behind, to advertise for somebody else. Essentially, that's what you're doing. You know, but it affected me throughout my life. I've never been a name brand type of person. I will go to Old Navy. My proudest buys are when I found some shirts at Old Navy for 47 cents, brand new shirts for 47 cents. And I wear them proudly.
That's what's hot. That's beautiful.
You know, proudly. Yeah. And when I wear it, you know, it's like somebody will say, oh, that's a nice shirt, 47 cents.
Yeah, 47 cents.
But it's like this. I've never been a name brand person, you know, because that's one of the things that my father, all this stuff that I'm saying now, I feel like, you know, it's like my father revised, because these are the things that he was trying to tell me when I was 15, 16, 17 years old, you know, how much this stuff does not really matter.
It doesn't. Yeah.
You know, it really doesn't matter. And as you get older, that's the beauty. I mean, life is so funny. It's like like God has this wonderful sense of humor. Because as you get older and you start to see the wisdom in things, you know, you start to see, you know, or like all these things, like I'm just saying, all these things, they don't matter. You know, and I'm just now starting to understand this and starting to see it, you know. But, you know, while you have your youth, being young is fun and dumb.
Yeah.
It's fun and dumb.
Because you're naive.
Yeah. You know, very much. And the funny thing is you think you know everything.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That was my smartest, dumbest period of my life. I thought I knew everything, but I was so dumb.
Yeah. But you know what? I mean, you know, you come to learn to appreciate it because it teaches you. You know, that's what you know.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it, though. Yeah.
It does. And I have five children, and I've always wanted to, help my children avoid those pitfalls and mistakes. But you can't. You can't.
You can't. They have to learn for themselves. You know, as much as you may want to try to, you know, protect them and, you know, save them from their mistakes, you know, that's what it's about. You know, you have to, you know, you go out there. I mean, not so much that you want to make mistakes, but you're going to make mistakes. And hopefully by making those mistakes, you know, you'll learn from them. You'll look back and, you know, you'll reflect on them. And hopefully, you know, you won't do the same once again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I've learned to let it go. Let them be. Let them do what they're gonna do, and that's it. Gives me a better peace of mind. I'm looking forward to the next 20 years. You know, I wonder how much I'm gonna learn in those next 20 years. Getting older is a wonderful thing.
It is.
Yeah,
I agree.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. I think that one of the things that I've learned from an older woman, and that is the beauty of a confident, you know, in this case, woman. I'm sure this applies to people in general, but the beauty of a confident woman, a woman who has self-confidence, you know, she has so much to give of herself, you know, because she's not afraid of being diminished because she gives. You know, some people they I don't mean give as in dollars or material things. I'm just talking about a sharing of herself. You know, which can be so you know, so helpful to so many.
Yeah.
You know, when you have that self confidence, you know, and this woman to me, she was such a beautiful person, and I mean, you know, she's pretty, you know, but I'm talking about just a beautiful person. And I loved having her around. She was an aide of mine, you know, and it's so funny because in the beginning, you know, the reason why she became my aide was because I forgot to call and tell them don't send anybody because I'm not good with change. So when I had to change aides, you know, it was like, I forget it. I don't want nobody. Don't send nobody. And I forgot to call, and they sent her.
Yeah.
You know, she knocked on the door. And at first I thought, okay, this is not going to work out because she was a Dominican lady, and she had this accent, you know, and I was like, I don't got no time. And he's sitting there trying to figure out what nobody's saying, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I was really, you know, a jerk about it. But, you know, I'm not mean. I was never mean, but just a jerk internally. But it turned out to be one of the best relationships you know, because this woman was so, and she helped me with myself. You know,
right.
She helped me with myself. You know, to see her do her job proudly and well. You know, she never tried to cut corners. She never tried to, I mean, she just was good at everything she was doing, mm-hmm. you know. And just the talks we had, you know, and things like that. Sometimes she would see, you know, my mood and, you know, say, okay, come on, let's talk. You know, she knew something was heavy on my mind or whatever. And she had it's like this balance of wisdom and confidence, and it taught me a lot, you know. And one of the things that it taught me was that to not be afraid of what I am, to not be afraid of being what I am and who I am, you know, unapologetically.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
be who
yeah.
I am, and that's it. You know, I used to have a problem with, you know, acceptance, wanting or like needing for everybody to love what I was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, needing that pat on the back all the time. And I'll pat myself on the back if I need to. Mm-hmm. I'll pat myself on the back.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm learning, you know, as I'm doing this show, you know, I'm learning to be more accepting of myself. You know, to put the, you know, when I stumble, when I stumble on the show, you know, when I make a mistake, you know, because like before the show, I'm like, I'm nervous kind of.
And, you know, not nervous. That's another thing. And that's another thing that, you know, that affects our self-image, our self-esteem. You know, again, it goes back to society. I feel like, you know, they demand perfection. They try to shove perfection down our throats. And I believe that's where it comes from.
Yeah, they're trying to be perfect, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah. But really, what is perfect? There is no perfect.
There isn't. Perfect is a matter of, you know, is a glorified opinion, you know? Well, you know, what really, in reality, is our imperfections that I think that truly make us shine, you know?
But, you know,
the fact that, you know, despite those things that, you know, that nag us, you know, we still manage to go do our thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I recall this woman, I think she may have been a reporter or something, I don't know, but she put up a picture of herself, and from different parts of the world, people like photoshopped the picture to make her what they considered beautiful. And all of these different images, they came back different.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So here, you can't, you know, be perfect, you know, quote unquote perfect, you know.
There's no such thing.
Everything is perceived differently.
It's just
perceived differently.
Yeah.
You know, everybody doesn't think that, you know, 36, 24, 30, a woman with a 36, 24, 36 figure is perfect.
You know
what I mean? Somebody likes a media woman. Somebody likes a skinnier woman. Somebody, you know, somebody likes a tall man, a short man, you know, whatever. I just wish we could all just, and even, you know what, even when sometimes you may be attracted to something, or, well, I'm just going to say someone, and maybe even something, you know, but because it is not acceptable to other people, you will betray yourself.
Yes.
And what you are attracted to
so
that other people won't, you know, think there's something wrong with you.
Yep.
You know, I remember, I always got a story, don't I? But there was this young lady when I was young. I had to be about 15 or 16 years old. I remember K-Swiss sneakers around the time where K-Swiss sneakers were hot. Now, K-Swiss sneakers are these plain sneakers. And they have four stripes, I think. You know how Adidas have the three stripes? Down the side, they have four. Right, they were plain white sneakers with plain white stripes down the side. Right, and I can remember asking her. I was like, "Do you like those sneakers?" Because I didn't see the sense. It's like, you know.
Right.
And she was like, "Nah, not really." But they cost so and so and such and such and such.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Wow,
wow!
You don't even like the sneakers." but they cost. So this gives you status in somebody else's eyes because you paid this amount of money. You know, this is the,
it just becomes an obsession that, you know, we need people's approval, you know. It becomes an obsession.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be.
No, definitely it should not. But and it's like, I wonder how, I would love to find out how, basically. And I'm sure it's a self thing. It's a self a self discovery thing to get out from up under that, because that is a heavy, heavy weight.
It is.
A very heavy weight. You know, to live under, I mean, the most I can see, honestly, caring about their approval, is your parents.
Right.
You know, caring about your parents' approval.
And even them, sometimes, they don't, you know.
Yeah, a little too heavy.
You know?
Yeah, sometimes that's a little too heavy also. But I can understand that because...
Yeah.
This is what you grew up with. This is who takes care of you. This is who loves you. This is, you know.
Yeah.
When you knew nothing, this is who taught you. You know, so I can understand that. But this other stuff, you know, I'm promising myself I'm going to try. Because I try to examine myself a lot to see where. Because I wonder how much of my mind is, and I'm sure there's a great portion of it, that's screwed up with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's in us.
This is how we were raised.
You know,
it's in our soul. You know, it's in our heart. You know, and you know,
it's
really tough. Yeah,
you know, you really have to dig yourself out from up underneath it. You know, just in order to, and then when you do, you know, develop some sense of self confidence, you know, and self esteem, sometimes amaze yourself with what you can do.
Yeah.
You know, because when you stop second guessing yourself, you know, and give yourself permission to go ahead and do what it is you have to do and be okay with a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, you'll be amazed with what you can do.
Yeah.
And it's freeing. It is freeing. You know, and I use this show as an example. I love to talk.
Mm-hmm.
I love to talk. I love to talk to people. I love to find out about people, you know, and I love to dig beneath the surface, you know. That's what I love to do. And so it's a thing. I could have been doing this all along. But, you know, okay, I gave myself permission to do this show. You know, and to reach out to other people. That's one of the hardest things for me, is to reach out like
me
that
too.
And to say, you know, okay, here's this idea I have, and what do you think, and will you support me in my idea, and, you know, and it's almost, I get childlike, and then I have to remember, you know.
Right.
You made a commitment to this, and it's a commitment to myself mostly. You know, it's a commitment to myself, you know, and it's also a commitment to people, because when I go out and people who know about the show, they come up and they talk to me, you know, and now all of a sudden people are talking to me like maybe I know something. I don't know anything. I'm trying to find out.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, so there are – there is a place out there for this show.
Right.
You know, there is a place out there for this. It's just trying to get people to, you know, here it is. And you know, I think, I don't know how to do it. I'm figuring out how to do it. But, you know, to get more people, you know, to listen to the show or whatever and participate. But because the conversations get very good in person.
Right.
You know, but I'm trying to do a live session, not a show, but just a like a talk group, at least one, just to get people, you know, to see how, because I think maybe people are a little bit embarrassed to speak about this topic, you know, because I think there are questions, you know, because that you sent me the link. I think it was you. Yeah.
Yeah.
The link. Did you see the film on the link that you showed me on sexual respect? Did you look at the video?
I haven't watched it. Did you get to show it on Friday? Because I didn't come in on Friday.
No, I didn't. I'm going to try and find another avenue, you know, to try and to do it. But that is something that I want to do. I want to show for the audience who doesn't know, there's a video that Norberto, a link to a site on sexual respect. And in that link he sent me, there was a video. And this video highlighted, you know, different people and, you know, their need to speak on this topic, on their sexuality, you know, and things like that. And I thought it would be a good idea to bring this video, to show this video and then have a discussion afterwards. Because I just think it helps. In looking at that video, I think it might open up a discussion.
Right.
I think it might open up a discussion, you know, and maybe, I don't know. We'll see. I'll just keep working on it. Just keep working on it. You got to keep working. That's
right,
it.
Right.
You know, got to keep working on it, you know,
right.
and encouraging people to, you know, I think one of the things that is natural about me is my ability to talk with people. And using that to encourage people to just be open, you know, and not as, you know, not me being nosy. I'm not trying to be nosy. Just,
no,
it's a relief.
Yeah.
It's a relief, you know,
yeah.
And I think it starts to help you to do something about, like, if you have an issue and you talk with somebody about this issue, in that talking, you might come up with some solutions.
Yeah,
and it'll help you to start to move on it instead of sitting there with it. Because a lot of times when you're sitting with something, it makes you miserable inside.
It does.
You know, and just to find out that other people are experiencing things the way that you are or something similar, you know, is you don't feel so isolated.
True.
You know, you don't feel so isolated in your problems or your issues or, you know, whatever it is. Or you might even helping people. Helping people is a real boost. You know, it's a boost. To be able to help people, to walk away and know that you've helped someone that day.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
that's great, you know.
It's a great feeling.
It really is. You know, I'd like to, you know, see if I think what I'm going to do, you know, to help the show is to go in person and try, because I've been asking people to email or inbox topics that they would like to talk about or hear about, and
right.
I've gotten no response. But in person, people tell me what they want to hear about. Like there was a gentleman who spoke to me, and, you know, he was saying that he has not experienced, you know, been in a relationship since he's been in his chair.
Right.
And it's been several years, you know,
right.
And that I think that's a good topic for discussion, because wondering,
it sure is.
I wonder why, you know, because I always, that's my favorite question. I'm like a 2-year-old. Why, you know, because I think sometimes we tend to look at things just as we see it. And, you know, having a fresh pair of eyes or a few fresh pair of eyes looking at it might help you to see things a different way, you know, because sometimes, you know, and as we have discussed before, you know, being in that chair does something to your self-confidence.
Right.
You know, it might not just be that, you know, people see a chair and they're like, oh, no, never mind. Sometimes it could be your self-confidence. It could be some change in you. You know, maybe, you know, before, like, you know, men usually pursue, maybe before you were in the chair, you may have pursued, you know, but now that you're in the chair, you don't feel the confidence to pursue. That could be a reason why, you know, so, that's what I'm saying. That why is always there. So I think what I might do is, you know, when I'm amongst people, to try and get topics. you know, and to let people know your topic will be featured and maybe they'll listen, you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
but,
that's true, yeah.
You know,
and another,
try
another
and do
thing
it
I think, you know, like it's important, like, you know, like, could ask them, you know, what does being intimate mean to you? Like, you know, love and intimacy, what does it mean? You know, like, you know, because, you know, some people, at least, you know, just me personally, I don't think, you know, some people are just in it for, you know,
wait,
they
wait,
just
Roberto,
wanna...
Roberto, hold on. That's a wonderful topic. And being that you're going to be my first guest in May, guest host, you want to save it for May? You want to save it for that show and let that show be about that?
Yeah.
Okay. So don't spill the beans yet. But that is a good topic because love and intimacy is not just, you know, not just sex. You know, and it does have a well, it depends on who you're talking to. But for me, it has a deeper meaning.
No, but that's exactly, that's how I say, you know, because some people might just see it as, oh, just, you know, well, you know, yeah, you know, some people, you know, they have different meanings, you know, what does it mean to them, you know?
Yeah, that's a good, that's a good one. And I'm going to start putting that on the page, you know, and try and get that out there, because that's a good topic, and that's a good, and it could have several different responses. You know, it could truly have several different responses, you know, because, like, you know, like we said, it's different things to different people.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, it amazes me how words take on different meanings.
Yeah.
You know, over time, you know, it takes on different meanings over time. And it's like, so, you know, me being how old I am, you know, and it might mean one thing to me, and then somebody being 20, it means a whole different thing. You know, so, this is a good topic, and I'm going to start now on promoting that topic, and I'm going to start, you know, seeing, see if we could drum up some listeners to, you know, give us their opinion on that. Yeah. Because I think, man, I'm about to start. Now I want to talk about it now. I want to talk about it now. Do you have any other topics you think you want to talk about in May?
Actually, I do. I have another idea. Like, what's important to you, like, in having sex with somebody, you know? Like, what do you go after, you know? You know? Well, I guess it kind of ties into, it kind of ties into the same topic that I just said, though, you know, like, what does it mean to you for, you know, to be intimate with somebody, you know, love and intimacy, what does, you know, so, yeah, but, you know, but...
So, what does love and intimacy mean to you?
Well, for me, you know, it means caresses, you know, just taking the time to, you know, make the person feel good, you know, not just mm-hmm. to be a 1 minute man, say, you know, you know what I'm saying? So, make the person feel good, you know, from head to toe, you know, just, you know.
Now, for me, love and intimacy is beyond physical. It goes beyond physical.
It is, yeah. Yeah.
And it's a it involves trust.
Yeah.
You know, communication. I mean, just the whole thing, because you can excuse my language when I say this, but it's the only way I can express it. You can mind fuck somebody. You know what I mean? And it's like it's not necessarily a physical thing. You know, I think about people who are not cannot really be that physical,
right?
With with it, and so it's like it goes beyond that, and you know, when if you, because I think about that, I was like, and it's being, especially, you know, now doing the show, I think about these things a lot, and it's like I know that ideally. Mm-hmm. You don't want to pick anybody just off a physical thing.
Exactly.
You know,
no.
And like, and with the disability, sometimes it's like putting together puzzle pieces. You know,
yeah.
Well, my disability work with your disability, and blah, blah, you know, if we want to get
yeah.
physical, you know what I mean.
That's what I'm saying.
But
I mean,
what
that,
do you do?
You know, for that, you know, you try to come up with creative ways, you know, to for things to work out. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
all about, you know, using your brain and your mind, you know.
Yeah, and you know, and but when you find somebody that you truly click with, I mean,
mm-hmm.
truly click with, you know,
mm-hmm.
somebody that you love, you know, and I don't even want to just say love, because it's that meeting of the, it's like sometimes you find somebody in life, it feels like your soul and your souls were meant to be together.
Yeah, soulmate,
you know?
Soulmate, yeah.
You know, yeah, okay. yeah. And what if your disabilities don't fit together like a puzzle piece? Do you forego that? You know, do you forego that soulmate because, oh, we can't be physical with each other, you know, but can you be satisfying to each other? Do you understand?
I think you can. I think you can. I mean, I think, I believe, you know, true love knows no boundaries. And I
mm-hmm.
think, you know, true love can withstand anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because I know there have been, here I go again with the stories. It's not even a story, but it's, mm-hmm. you know, there have been times in my life where I've been committed to one person,
right,
but felt something stronger for another,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so, although I was physically with, I didn't do anything, but although I was physically with one person,
mm-hmm.
my soul wasn't in it because
mm-hmm.
it felt more attached to someone else.
Right, that's tough, and that's tough.
You understand what I'm saying? So
I do,
it's like
very tough. Yeah,
that to me, that's a part of the love and intimacy, you know, to have
yeah.
that connection. Because
yeah,
and I wonder if it's. Go ahead. I'm sorry. You want to say something?
No, you know, and also, you know, your mind has to be in it too. You know, yeah, you know, it's,
mm-hmm.
you know, come full love and intimacy. You know, full love and intimacy. You know, your
mm-hmm.
heart, mind, body, and soul. You know, yeah, it. You know,
mm-hmm. now. Do you think as a person with a disability, and sometimes it is not so easy for us to find
mm-hmm.
someone to share, you know, our lives with or love
mm-hmm.
or intimacy with or whatever, do you think we sometimes jump for the wrong person? I mean, everybody jumps for the wrong person at one time or another.
Oh, yeah.
But do you
oh, yeah.
think it's a stronger tendency for somebody with a disability to get involved with the wrong person just because they come along?
It's possible, yeah. I mean, because, you know, okay, you know, because when you're lonely, you know, we're very vulnerable, you know, the loneliness and stuff, you know, wanting of compassion, wanting of someone to complete us or whatever, you know, which is nothing wrong with that. But, you know, it starts within us first. You know, we have to be comfortable with each other and stuff, you know, because if we, you know, me personally, if we're not comfortable with, I mean, you know, with ourselves, I don't think, you know, we should even be thinking about trying to find somebody else, you know. I
mm-hmm.
think we really need to work on ourselves first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that ties into, you know, the self-image, self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, unfortunately,
right.
sometimes I think in life it takes a few of those, you know, rushing in, you know,
yeah.
with the wrong person to realize that you have to be comfortable with yourself first. Because
yeah.
when you do
yeah.
that, when you just rush in and you're not
yep.
together, you don't
that
have yourself
to me,
together
yeah.
and you're not,
yeah.
you know, accepting of yourself, you open
yeah.
yourself up for victimization.
Yeah.
You know, you really do. You know, you
yeah.
open yourself up to the, you know, and not saying, you know, the people are, you know, the person that you're with is necessarily horrible, but you just absorb. There we go again. You absorb. When you're not together and you don't solidify yourself, you absorb what the other person feels about you.
Yeah.
You understand? And if that is negative,
yeah,
if that's
yeah.
negative, then it will tear you down.
Yeah, yeah.
It will tear you down.
Also, too, your environment where you live in has a role to play in it too. If you live in a negative environment, that's definitely gonna could wreak havoc on your self esteem and how you feel about yourself too.
Yeah, it does. And you know, have you ever experienced, you know, like you might have a friend or something like that who's going through a problem, and mm-hmm. you yourself mm-hmm. can see the way out of the problem for the friend. But even as you try to advise your friend,
mm-hmm.
they have a lot of excuses of why they can't do this or why they can't do that.
Yeah.
But the excuses are not really based on anything except for how they feel.
Yes. Yep.
You know, it's not like you're saying, okay, run, I don't have any legs. You know, it's like, run. Oh, but if I run, then my mom's going to get mad.
Yeah, totally, totally.
But you can still run, you know, you can still do what you got to do.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, I feel for people who aren't, I mean, to live your life
mm-hmm.
based on what somebody else feels about you.
Yeah, what somebody else wants for you, you know.
They have their lives. They have their lives.
Yeah.
They have their lives, they've lived it. And this is a message to parents, myself included. You know, if you had your chance to live your life, you know, you did what you want with your life, and now you have to let other people live their lives.
Yeah.
Mistakes included. You know, my daughter called me and told me that she had she was going to apply for a job that became available in Texas.
Right.
My immediate reaction was, Texas? She lives in North Carolina now. So I was like, Texas? That's so far away. You don't know anybody in Texas. And you know, I had all these reasons why she didn't, you know, why she shouldn't move to Texas, which my heart of hearts, the reason is, Texas is too far away for me to get to quickly, you know, or easily or whatever. It was really based on how I felt.
Right, of course.
You know, and then, so the next time she called me, I had to stifle myself, and I, you know, told her, baby, you do what, you know, what's best for you.
Yeah,
you have
to
do what's best for you and your children. You know, and you can't base it on how mommy feels.
Yeah.
You know, because it might take mommy longer to get to Texas than it does in North Carolina.
Right.
You know, really. You know, but basing, you know, living your life based on what other people feel or think. It's like you, I don't know, it's a life. You get one.
Yeah.
You get one.
Yeah, you get one,
just
you know.
Do what you feel like doing, you know, safely. You know, just do what you can do and what you feel like doing.
And
breaking free. And most of the time, you do what it is that you're going to do, it'll be okay. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
People will get over it, and people will learn to live with the decisions that you make for yourself.
Yeah.
People will learn to live with it. You know, there have been times when I've been afraid to say things to people because I go through a whole thing in my head. Like if I had something, let's say like me and you had some type of conflict, and I needed to talk to you, in the shower, I'm talking it over. I'm going through in my head what I want to say to you, what I feel that you're going to say back, and what I'm going to say to you in response to your response.
Right,
I'm not
right.
crazy. I wonder, do we all do that? I don't know. I'm not crazy, but that's my process.
Right.
And
yeah.
you know, oftentimes there have been plenty of times where I have backed down. Because I didn't want to go through what the conflict I knew was coming or didn't want to ruin something. Yeah. But as I've gotten older, I realized I need to live my life and my truth.
Yes. Yeah.
If I'm going to be miserable with something that you've done.
Right.
And I don't say anything. I'm going to stay miserable.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
You know, and just, until you decide to stop.
Yeah.
But if I tell you to stop, if I tell you, no, I don't like this, don't do this, this is unacceptable to me, I risk upsetting you, you know, but that behavior stopped. You stop.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? And most of the time, most of the time, you'll be okay with it.
Yeah.
You know, you'll come around.
Yeah. And
you'll come around.
Then, hey, you know.
Right.
You
exactly.
Know, it's about caring. I mean, real friends will tell you, you know, where you know, you sort of drop the ball, so to speak, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I know somebody who is so truthful that it was kind of scary. I didn't really want to ask him any questions because he was too truthful and honest.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things that I've learned from this person is that just because I don't like what you do doesn't mean I don't love you.
Exactly. That's true.
You know, I cannot like what you're doing and still love you.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, most of the time, the valuable relationships in your life will remain, even if, you know, you don't always agree or something like that. But this person is so brutally honest. But go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know, we need to learn to agree to disagree, you know, not get mad with, you know, somebody's opinion or, you know, because we're not always going to agree, and we need to learn to accept that, learn to agree to disagree, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, that's something I myself try to work on, you know, because – you know, the two topics that people tell you never discuss, you know, with people, because the politics and religion, you know, there are people in my life who I truly love or truly like. And I know one of these people, you know, I've known for quite a few years and really, really like the person, but we've never gotten to any discussions about religion or politics or anything like that.
Right.
And over Facebook, I was able to see their political views.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, really? They differ from mine. They differ.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it made me, you know, do I like this? And I realized how ridiculous I was being. You know, it's like, sure you like this person. You know, what does their, you know, political views have to do with whether or not you like them? I just don't like their political views.
Right.
That's it, you know, and that's something, you know, we have to learn to, like you said, agree to disagree. And just because you hold certain opinions, it doesn't mean that that's your whole value as a person.
Exactly.
You know, but it's interesting to me watching myself grow, you know, and it's a shame that it has to end. You know, as far as us, because I feel like, you know, you learn so much as you get older.
You do.
And then you gotta go.
It's a beautiful thing. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
You know, then you gotta go. My father, my ex-father-in-law, though, he's so funny because he is such a beautiful soul and an impatient man. We were talking one time, and I was like, well, you just have to be patient. He said, patience? You know how old I am. I don't have time to be patient. I'm going to die soon. You know, I love the, you know, how older people, they say what they feel.
Right.
They say what they feel because they've learned. You know, and I can't wait to get that old to where I really don't give a you know what about what people say and think.
Right.
I can't wait to get that old. I can't wait. You know, it's getting there.
You learn to enjoy every bit of it, you know? You learn to, you know.
Yeah, I'm starting to enjoy it now. I remember my children. I grew up thinking that because of the color of my skin, because of how dark I am, I should not wear bright colors.
Right.
And from up until I was probably 30-something,
mm-hmm.
The colors I gravitated to were black, brown, and blue.
Huh.
You couldn't find anything red or orange or yellow in my wardrobe, black, brown, blue, and maybe white, you know. And then I started wearing colors, you know, lime green, red, purple, whatever. And my children started teasing me, telling me I look like Skittles, you know. But these colors make me feel happy. They make me feel happy to wear colors, to be colorful, to be bright, you know. And I forgot the point of what I was saying. I'm sorry. I forgot the point of what I was saying. Pardon me?
It's okay.
What were we talking about before?
No, we were talking about, you know, we're talking about how, you know, like you don't have to like how a person's view is on religion.
Not caring.
Yeah.
Not caring about what people say, you know, and that was something, you know, and just the way that the colors that I choose, I had to stop caring about what people said and care more about how I felt.
And it's
something that's so simple. It's so simple. And when I wear brighter colors, I usually get a compliment. Mm-hmm. You look happy today. Mm-hmm. You know, or whatever. You know, I don't look drab. You know, and but to, you know, to hear my kids tell it, you know, them Skittles, you know, and to hear, you know, when I was growing up, you know, don't wear, and the reason why they told me not to wear bright colors was because it would make me look darker. And that right there, that statement right there implies that there is something wrong with darker.
And it's not,
you know, so you see how these things are fed to us and implanted and they, you know, really, you know, they're just a part of us. Wow. That's what I was saying. I wonder how much of my mind is, you know, brainwashed, because it is really, really a part of us. I was listening to somebody, I can't remember who it was, I was listening to them talk, what they were saying, but the whole implication behind what they were saying was, you know, the lighter was pretty. And, you know, this is not about light or dark, but it was just about this perception that this person had. And it's like, wow, the job that is done, you know, you can make a whole population feel inferior. Because, you know, and for the, on that, I'll say people of color, I'll say people who have weight, people with disabilities. Any category that you fit into, you can be made to feel inferior. Because of somebody else. Oh, man, that sickens me. That freaking sickens me. And it sickens me more so on the part of not having enough sense to see that this whole vastness of and variety of people, just and to stick to some impossible image. You understand what I'm saying? The true vastness and variety of people. Oh, so many different people. So many different ways. Oh, man.
But, you know, everybody wants to be right.
Man. That really sickens me.
Everybody wants to be sickens. Right.
You know, and it's just, it's a horrible thing that's been done to us.
It really is. And now we have to work on undoing it.
I'm really, really hope and pray for myself that I can really view people by the content of their character and who they are. I really do. You know, I'm not even going to say I do now. I won't even say that. I won't even say that I've gotten that far, you know, but I hope to get that far.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, when I think about people who are, you know, on the outsides of society, like I think about people who are homeless, right? And
right.
people really don't want to have time for them. They don't want to
right.
have time to even have a conversation with them. You know, they
yeah.
act like they're not there. To be able to pass
yeah,
a person
yeah.
and just totally deny that they're there. You know, it is really, these are people.
Yep.
These are freaking people. And one of the things that I try to do is to, if I were in that position, if I was in that place, what would I want? You know, what would I want?
Yeah.
What would I need? You know,
yeah.
one time a friend of mine, we were walking down the street, and we were talking. Guy came up to him to, you know, ask him for something, you know.
Yeah.
And he put his arm around the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, talked to him for a while, you know. And I was, that just moved me so much. Because
okay,
usually
yeah.
people
yep.
would just give,
yep.
you know,
yep.
you give or don't, and you just walk on.
Yep.
But he put his arm around him.
And that was really kind. That was, yeah.
It really was. It really, really was. And, you know, oh, boy. To think that we, you know, when, I'm sorry. I've been thinking about this all day, and I was saying to myself, Stephanie, you know, you can't get so off track, but I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it. I'm getting off track. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think about our problems or the things
mm-hmm.
that we think are problems.
Yeah.
You know, and how easy we have it. Because,
yeah.
you know, while we're thinking, you know, while for us a problem is we don't know which shoes to wear. There are
right,
people who
right.
don't have shoes.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
we don't know, you know, we don't, it's nothing in there that I want to eat. There are people who have nothing to eat. We, oh, gosh, I feel
yeah.
like such a job has been done to us and on us.
Yeah, yeah.
To the
yeah.
point that our humanity has
yep.
been compromised.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's a lot of self-centered, that you know, a lot of self-centeredness that goes on and whatnot.
You know, I get on my daughter when, you know, when she takes a shower. She likes
mm-hmm.
to turn the shower on first. You know, so the water will be warm when she gets in.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. But you turn the shower on, and then you go do other stuff around the house.
Yeah.
You know, and the shower is running for 15 minutes before you get in. Do you know how precious that water is?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know, truly know how precious that water is? You know, the people who don't have it, they're drinking dirty water if they have water.
You know, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'm sorry, I am so off track. I am so sorry. But it just all ties into me to the job that's done on us and
no,
how
I agree. Yeah.
we don't
so, you know.
Accept ourselves, we don't accept others. It reminds me of, like,
yeah.
sometimes I feel like we are in a movie, you know,
yeah.
like some ridiculous movie. You know, have you ever looked back at, you know, like maybe been in history class or something like that, maybe read something about some things
yeah.
that happened in ancient times, and it
mm-hmm.
just seems so ridiculous to you? Like, let's
yeah.
say, for instance, the you know how they have the people, they used to have the people fighting to the death for,
yeah.
what do you call that? You know, why it was entertainment for them. They would have prisoners fighting to the death. And just stuff like that seems so ridiculous. But there's so many ridiculous things going on around
wow.
us
yeah. Yeah.
that defy basic humanity
yeah.
that we
yeah.
take as normal and regular.
Yeah. And, you know, it's our, yeah, you know, and it's our job to speak up, you know, and try to change it. Try to, you know, undo the damage that's been done, you know.
But see, you know, I think the thing with not speaking up, Norberto,
mm-hmm.
is that people get comfortable. When you're comfortable,
yeah,
you don't have a
do.
Reason to speak up.
Yeah, yeah, we get so comfortable, yeah, yeah.
You don't have a reason to speak up. If you are okay, and your next door neighbor, I'll give you for instance, there's no reason why you should be okay if your next door neighbor has no food.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about somebody homeless on the street. I'm talking about your next door neighbor.
No, no. Yeah.
If your neighbor has no food and you have gravy on your rice, you understand what I'm saying? And stinking onions or whatever. Your neighbor needs to eat.
Yep.
That's basic humanity.
It is.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But we start to take on attitudes like, well, shoot, you know, they want to eat, they need to work, they need to do, you know, sometimes people fall on hard times.
Yeah, that is true. But we always think the bad things. You know, we always think the bad things about people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This bothers me so much, and I feel like there are things that I see that are so unbelievable.
Yeah.
That are so unbelievable, but normal now. Considered normal now.
Yeah, it's not cool. It's definitely not cool. Yeah.
You know, simple things like, you know, things like waiting in line for a day or two for a telephone.
Yeah.
Or some sneakers or something like that. Or, you know, just Lord have mercy. Not taking care of your parents. You know, your parents are in a home because you don't want to take care of them. You know, there's one thing if you can't, you know, like maybe your parent has an illness that needs to be monitored or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But to put your parents in a home because they're just because they are older and, you know, inconvenient. You know, certain things are just that defy basic humanity. Things that you, and to me, humanity is what you want for yourself.
Yeah.
What you want for yourself extend to other people.
You know? Yeah. And you know, you have to try to put yourself in other people's shoes, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. You know, I think of you know, I had a discussion with someone recently, and they were telling me, you know, that they didn't think that I needed an aid.
Right.
You know, I'm not bedridden.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean,
but,
you know,
yeah, you could still use the help.
I know this. You know, another comment that they made, if you're scared you're going to fall, then get a life alert. You know, the aid is here to help me do things so that I won't be doing them and fall. Why do I have to be bedridden in order to have help doing things that are difficult for me?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like because you're not in these shoes, because you don't experience things the way that I experience them, you don't fully understand.
Yeah, you don't understand what it means to be disabled unless you're disabled yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even within that, you still don't understand another person's disability.
You
understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like I have a friend who's blind, and I'm constantly asking him these questions about being blind, you know.
Right.
And I still can't fathom it.
Right.
I still cannot fathom it, you know.
Right.
I went as far as to try and do things with my eyes closed, you know, or whatever, but that's not the same because I can still open them.
Yeah.
I can still open them and see. You know what I mean? But, you know, even within, you know, our community, it's still hard to sometimes understand another person's disability.
Yeah,
you know, but respect it. Respect it. You have to respect it. You know, I don't know. But I think we have beat the death out of this topic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in closing, what I'm going to say is to be accepting of yourself. Understand that we were all created different.
Right.
You know, beauty is not an outer aesthetic thing. Beauty comes from within. And I know these sound like such cheesy sayings that you've heard, you know,
but
forever.
It's true.
It really is true. You know, beauty truly, truly comes from within. Because when you think about it, the aesthetic beauty, you know, it withers. It goes away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It goes away. You know, and it's that inner beauty that remains.
Yeah.
You know, so work on that. Work on being a beautiful person. You know, not a pretty person, but a beautiful person. You know, work on accepting yourself. Look in the mirror and love what you see. Love what you see. You know, because it's you and you're the only you that you get.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know, you were uniquely created.
Yeah.
You know, and that's that. That's that. Just be you proudly. Just be proud and be yourself and accept yourself. You know, and go out and do great things. That's it. Go out and do great things with yourself and with what you were given. You know, and with that, I'm going to say good night. We do this every Monday at 6 p.m. next week. I mean, it's me and you. What are we going to talk about? Do you know yet?
Yeah, remember, you know, love and intimacy.
Oh, so we're going to deeper explore that. Okay. We are going to deeper explore what love and intimacy means to you.
Yeah.
And we'll see you back here next Monday, me and Norberto.
Yeah.
We will see you back here.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
No, we're going to try to see if we get more people to call in, you know, because, you know, I want to hear other people, you know, other people's opinions on this stuff, you know, because it's important. It is. It's really important.
It really is.
Yeah.
Because it helps to settle a side of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, when you know you know, it's one thing to face the world, but it's something better to face the world with somebody.
Yeah.
And to notice somebody, it gives you a little bit more, you know, assurance, a little bit more confidence. You know, you go out there and you conquer this world together.
Yeah.
You know, so see you back here next Monday at 6 p.m. It's me and you, Norberto. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And I will see you then.
Okay.
Bye-bye.